Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, UK Bills Mafia. This is Christian Wade of your Buffalo Bills. This is the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast with your hosts, Matt and Alex. Let's go, Buffalo! Woo!
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast, Bills News with a UK twist. And we're entering the divisional rounds now, as we have a late night game on Saturday when we host the Baltimore Ravens. Matt here, joined as always by Alex. Alex, how's the last few days been for you since the Colts game?
I mean, I'm in a lockdown. Yesterday was the same as last week, which is the same as last week. I don't have any idea. But other than that, I mean, you know, I'm really excited about this game, whereas last week I was really nervous. I mean, what do you think, right? I mean, it's like we're playing on, you know, like we got that playoff win. Like, I'm satisfied. I'd love to keep going, but if it ends, I'm happy. Like, I don't want to sound defeated, because I'm not, and I'm not expecting a loss. But last week I was nervous. This week I'm excited. Where are you?
I'm starting to go the other way around.
Really?
I'm actually starting to be excited about the Colts one, but a tiny bit nervous. There's a little bit of nagging nerves in for this game.
A lot of the research that I did actually leans heavily, I don't know about heavily, but in our favor, and we'll discuss that. But yeah, I mean, so what's got you nervous?
I mean, the one thing obviously is going to be the weather. I don't know if your mates can actually give us an inside tip of what it's going to be like on on Saturday. But
well, let me check the weather service right now.
Buffalo, the fact that if there is any chance of snow and it actually settles, it's going to hamper a little bit, obviously digs and that when they actually can do their routes quite easily with the without snow on there. Obviously, it's going to be a little bit more difficult on there, but obviously it'll play a little bit more into the Ravens' hands, because they're what, second in the league in rushing. So I think that's really where my kind of nerves are at the moment. But
I really wouldn't want weather to affect the game. That would be a disappointment.
If you're looking,
shower, so it's going to rain Friday. It's not going to snow, and then Saturday, it's going to be snow showers, which is worse than snow, because it's like that. It's a wet snow rain kind of mixture, and that really just plays into the strength of the running game. If it was just snowing normally, I think that would be better.
I think if you're going to put a percentage on where I'm at, nervous to excited / confidence, I'll probably say 98% confident and excited, and about 2% nervous.
So you made it sound a lot worse than that earlier.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I do. I actually tend to over exaggerate on things.
You must know that way into being confident. I guess that's good. I just want to say, before we like break down anything, like, you know, how fun is this? You know, we're talking about, we're doing a preview podcast in mid-January. This is excellent. You know, I haven't been able to do this before. This is fun. Kind of makes you think, though, why? I mean, I get it that the Premier League kind of does their own thing. You know, football has been, you know, European football has been, you know, the longest game, blah, 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 blah. Why don't you guys have playoffs? This is fun.
Well, to be honest, in some leagues, well, in England, in the in the lower divisions other than the Premiership, and there's a few European leagues that do have playoffs, mainly for like promotion places. So we do have playoffs, but the top leagues really don't have really anything for playoff wise.
Lost you there.
Hey?
Lost you there. Again. Yeah, I know you trailed off there.
Oh God, you've got to get a new computer. You said before we came on that you updated. Maybe there's something wrong with your software. With the top divisions in football, they obviously, because it's top divisions, they just have an out and out champion. They don't really have any playoffs. It's the feeder leagues really. Yeah. So in our case, the Championship, League One, League Two, and obviously the second divisions of all the foreign countries, European countries, they're actually have playoffs to get promoted
right
to the end, so, to the top division.
So for the Premier League, then, isn't that like a little anticlimactic? Like every year, at least for a while, maybe some years it's contested through the end of the season. It just seems like, you know, you already have a champion with like 10 games left, and it's just like, what's the point? You know, where's the fun in that?
The fun in that would be the European places. I think that's the one thing that if like last year when obviously Liverpool just ran away with it, the battles were on the European places. Who's going to get this European place? Who's going to get that European place? So I think even if the league is actually won and over with 10 games plus to go, there's still going to be the excitement of obviously the relegation and obviously the European places.
But doesn't that diminish like the prestige of the award? If it's settled that Liverpool wins and there's 10 games left, like, all right, on to the next thing, you know, like you're supposed to be like, it's supposed to be like the, I know it's not the title because the Champions League is the title. It just seems silly to me. As an American, I want a playoff. I don't want ties. You know, it just seems all anticlimactic. So, I mean, because one of the most fun things in sports is the upset, right?
Yeah.
So if if the Premier League had a playoff, you know, let's say like a best of three series or something, or just a one-off game, how much fun would it be if, you know, the 11th seeded whoever, you know, or like the sixth seed, you know, like Everton were to have beaten Liverpool in a playoff? Like that would be amazing, right? You guys just don't have an opportunity for those kind of storylines. It just seems like, all right, the team with the most money wins every year.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily. But it's come to
look at Leicester a couple of years ago. They were
right. Yeah, that, I mean that was remarkably exciting. Everyone was following that. But it just seems like since then, it's like, all right, Man City and Liverpool, whatever. But I mean, in the NFL, we had the number 7 seed almost beat the number 2 seed. You know, like that would have been interesting for the game. Luckily it didn't happen for our sake, you know.
Yeah, well, hopefully it'll be a case that the number 6 seed beats the number 1 seed.
Yeah. Oh yeah, now that, yeah, I mean that, and that would be fun. Bills, yeah, host Browns, AFC Championship, Josh versus Baker. I mean, this whole thing,
it's,
I mean,
possible.
Look at these quarterbacks in the AFC, they're all like in their diapers still. It's really interesting to see.
Well, Baker Mayfield's is the oldest quarterback left in the playoffs in the AFC.
Yeah, and he's like 25. That's crazy. That's just nuts stuff.
Only a few months older than thing. I think it goes Mayfield is 25. Mahomes, I think he's 25, but he's about five months younger than Mayfield, then Josh Allen, then Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah, the AFC is going to be competitive and fun to watch for years. Unfortunately, you know, I wish it was more of like the NFC where there's a few good teams at the top and then everybody else is in the middle, because, hey, we're good now. And so is the rest of the AFC. Damn it. You know.
But we'll move on. Let's get this preview show. Let's get this preview show started.
So it's pretty obvious that we have to talk about Lamar Jackson. And I know he won the MVP last year, but I'll start this off by saying something that is controversial. But Philip Rivers is a better quarterback than Lamar Jackson. When you talk strictly quarterback, I mean, clearly Lamar is the better athlete, and he won MVP last year because he can do things that no one else can. That's clear and obvious.
Yeah.
In watching the review of the game, Rivers picked us apart. He was making perfect throws over our guys, putting the ball where only his guys can get it. And Lamar cannot do that. I mean, you look at the second last drive of Indianapolis. I mean, he hit the two tight ends that they have. He hit Mo Alie-Cox on a streak down the middle of the field. And he put it right over Micah Hyde's hands. Micah Hyde had nearly perfect coverage, and Philip Rivers was able to put the ball exactly where it needed to be. I feel like if Lamar's making that throw, it's either going to be offline or it's going to be right at Micah Hyde.
Yeah.
Excluding spikes and throwaways, Lamar's on target percentage. So we're looking at all of his throws. Clearly, you know, a spike and a throwaway needs to be removed from this stat. Lamar's on target percentage is only 75.3%. That's 23rd in the league. He's not an accurate quarterback. Baltimore wins their games, as we all know, by running the ball, and then that sets up their RPO. Josh is 79%. That's 8th best in the league. You might only see a 4% differential in that percentage, but that's really important, and that's really key here. If we can sell out to stop the run, and there's a lot of tape of teams being successful doing that, make him throw from the pocket, we should have opportunities to either take the ball away or force fourth downs. Yeah. What are your initial thoughts on Lamar Jackson?
I think he is unique. I think obviously what people were saying in the lead up to the draft that year, that obviously he's more of a running quarterback. He can't really pass that well. I think he's disheveled some of that with what he can do with him passing, and still makes him a quarterback to have a specific game plan around. I mean, obviously, as I say, you've got the likes of Philip Rivers and let's say Breeze, Matt Ryan, Tom Brady, those sort of things where you know that they're not really going to, they're going to beat you more one way more than another. So they're going to always try and beat you passing rather than actually scrambling. So you've got one of those, you've got, when you face those teams, you've got that game plan that you're going to have set down, ready to actually execute. Obviously with Lamar Jackson and obviously other teams actually facing Josh Allen, you can't have that specific game plan that you're going to shut down this, because they'll be able to beat you another way. So say you've got Allen who can run, obviously now is starting to become more of that pocket passer on there, but he still has that ability. If you start taking away that game, he's going to beat you other ways, and the same with Jackson. So I think, yes, he's dispelled some of the myth that he's not, he's more of a running back than a quarterback. He's still someone that can be dangerous on his day.
I mean, Baltimore is really hot right now, but I mean, I see this as, you know, a simple game plan. I had this note for later in the show, but I'm going to pull it out now. Indianapolis was dangerous to us because they could run and pass. They run a nearly 50-50 offense, and they have the ability to do both very well. Baltimore is a run-first offense, and their passing attack is average in the league. That sets up better for our defense. Our defense.
Their passing, their passing offense is actually ranked in the bottom three. Their rushing is obviously number one.
Oh, you're looking at yards or what? What? I mean, what's your?
I think it's just total.
Yeah, because I mean, total. I mean, Baltimore's coaches have done a really good job in putting Lamar in passing successful situations. So he's got a decent completion percentage. That's why I had to look for the on target percentage as the argument to say, you know, is he an accurate passer or not? Because I think his completion percentage is in the mid-60s. So, you know, it's good for a quarterback. You know, they do a lot to the tight end. And tight ends are traditionally, if you have a really good one, and they do in Mark Andrews, it's a matchup concern.
Yeah.
So it's going to have to be, you know, bring Hyde and Poyer down into the box, trust your DBs in man coverage, and have Milano on Andrews, and you just got to trust that your guys can match up against their guys. And I truly do believe that, you know, when the defensive ends play contain and collapse a pocket around Lamar, playing contain means he can't bounce out. Having Hyde and Poyer down in the box means that, you know, you're showing them a stacked box. You're going to try and force them to pass, because if they run, Dobbins is going to face seven guys.
Yeah.
This kind of one-dimensional offense plays into our defensive hands very well. We're a really aggressive defense, and aggressive in the sense that if you show us a play action, we're going to bite hard. We bit really hard on a lot of misdirection against the Colts.
So I mean, last year we had a plan.
Yeah.
For absolutely. It. Obviously we lost on that. I mean, Lamar Jackson went 16 for 25 for 145 yards, three touchdowns, one interception. He had 11 attempts rushing and only gained 40 yards.
And even passing, they had one big play. It was Hayden Hurst for 61 yards. Other than that, he had 84 yards passing. Blueprint was created by us last year. Tennessee executed that in the playoffs. Tennessee forced them, I think, to three turnovers, a fumble and two interceptions. Tennessee this season was able to contain Lamar. And then in the playoffs, I know that Tennessee lost, but Baltimore only had 20 points. Last year, they held them to 12. You have to be able to understand, you know, give Lamar his yards, but there was Tennessee was able to stop them on fourth and one twice, and that's just by selling out to stop the run. The interceptions, when you contain him and make him throw, he can make mistakes, and when he runs, you have to make the first tackle. If Lamar's out there breaking tackles, it's over. And that's why Tennessee was able to cause him into a forced fumble last year. I mean,
and that's why I mentioned on
their offense is simply a run pass offense. You know, they run that RPO more than anybody else. They have the third most pass yards out of it, and they very obviously have the most rush yards out of it. That has been a little bit of an issue for us. Arizona beat us with it. New England gave us trouble with it here and there. Like I said, when we crash down, we need to stick to our assignments. This might be oversimplifying things, but real quick, you know, there's 11 guys on the field. If your job is to stick to the running back on an RPO, do it. Don't bite. If your assignment is to stick to the quarterback on an RPO, don't bite. Stick to your assignments. Like I said, we're really aggressive and we bite hard. Can that get fixed in 1 week?
Yeah, possibly it can. I mean, I said it on the review show. It's the tackling that you're going to need to that you're going to need to work on, because last week there were so many missed tackles, and if we did those sort of tackles, it would actually if we made those tackles, we would have limited the Colts to less than what they actually got, and probably would have made the game a lot more comfortable.
Yeah, you mentioned making tackles. This is what I talked about, where the Colts were really, they're 50-50 to run or pass on nearly every play. They're not predictable. When Hines was in, we were expecting them to throw the ball, and when they ran with Hines, they were able to gash us.
Yeah. I mean,
Baltimore doesn't do stuff like that.
Yeah, I've got a list here of all the top rushers against the Bills this season. So that's all 18 games so far. I mean, it goes Frank Gore week one was the top rusher against the Bills defense with 24. Then Gaskin with 46 yards in week two. Darrell Henderson, 114 yards in week three. Josh Jacobs, 48 yards in week four. Derrick Henry, 57 yards in week five. Edward Tulare, 161 yards in week six. Gore again, 60 yards in week seven. Harris, 102 yards in week eight. DJ Dallas, 31 yards week nine. Kenyon Drake, 100 yards in week 10. Then we go Eckler, 44 yards. Wilson, 47 yards. That's Jeff Wilson. James Connor, 18 yards. Melvin Gordon, 61 yards. Sonny Michel, 69 yards. Ahmed, 29 yards. And last week, Jonathan Taylor, 78 yards. Mm-hmm. So you can see from the Arizona game that they've started to tighten up a little bit more. And especially with that Taylor, because I know we missed a load of tackles on there. Mm-hmm. On there, that's obviously showing that they're starting to improve on there. But with Lamar, with Dobbins, with Gus Edwards, and even Mark Ingram, if they actually if they activate him, we've got to get those tackles in and get them in early. So if you've got them and they're behind the line of scrimmage, you actually hold on as tight as possible. You just grab them and actually squeeze them so they can't even get out. But that's what they really need to work on in the this week, is just perfecting that tackling. Because as everyone's going to say, the Ravens will run on you, and if you let them break tackles, they are going to hit us hard, and they will then be able to control the time of possession more by running it, and us making the having to make the plays. And then trying to get, obviously, the offense, which we know what they can do, get them up and running and actually throwing and making the big plays just to keep up, obviously, with the loss of possession, or conceding possession to the Ravens.
Yeah, it seems like it should be simple, you know, stop the run and make them throw, but nothing in the NFL is ever really simple, you know. it's going to be frustrating. The good news is there's a lot of film on how to slow down Lamar, and when you do, they struggle. I know people love stats like this. So, the stat like when Josh throws and runs for a touchdown, he's like undefeated. What is he? You said like 14-0, right?
17-0.
When Lamar rushes for 90 yards, he's 9-0 this season. So you have to really control that.
But then again, I'm just looking. Everyone says that since if they're using the same stretch as the as Allen the last seven games, including the playoff, well, six for the Ravens, because I think they either had a bye week or Jackson didn't play 1 week. I'm not sure on there, but they're saying that the Ravens are unbeaten. They've put up a load of points and all that. You just look at the teams that they actually that they faced. I mean, they faced the Cowboys, who have defensive rank of 28, the Browns 21, the Jags 31, the Giants, who are actually up in ninth, the Bengals 22nd, and Titans 24th. And this is all in points allowed on that. Yeah. So they're playing teams in the lower half of defenses, whereas the Bills, we faced the Chargers, who are 23rd, the 49ers, who are 17th, the Steelers, who are 3rd, Broncos, who are 25th, the Pats, who are 7th, the Dolphins, who were 6th, they were number one at the time, and then the Colts, who were 10th. So again, it's put it on those, you play what's in front of you, type scenario. So obviously, they've played the weaker schedule, the Ravens, with probably the exception of the Browns game in the last 6 or 7.
Well, I mean, and last week against the Titans. I mean, I said that against the Colts last week, where I said the Colts have had the easiest schedule in the AFC. Guess who's got the second easiest schedule in the AFC? Baltimore has. So they've had a pretty, you know, easy run of it.
I mean, the Ravens,
that
the
obviously
six...
can't be a talking point because the Colts played us close. And I think this is going to be another game where it gets played close. Look, it's the playoffs and it's not the NFC. You don't have a Bears team, you know, you don't have, you know, an easy game here. I think Pittsburgh was the weakest team in the AFC and they had 11 wins. It just depends on how you're coming into the playoffs. And even though Baltimore has had an easy schedule, they're coming into the playoffs hot. And, you know, confidence is one of the biggest things. Tennessee's last big loss, their last legit loss, because obviously their last loss was with their backup quarterback because of COVID. But you look to the game before that, 30-24 loss in overtime in Baltimore against Tennessee. Lamar getting held to 186 passing, one touchdown, one interception, 58% completion percentage, 13 rushes, only 51 yards. There's tape on how to beat Lamar. The guys are just going to have to execute. Nobody can have an off game. The good news is there's not a lot of tape on how to stop Josh Allen. So we want to talk about what we got to do on offense. You know, that's going to be a little bit more fun of a conversation.
The one thing I want to do before we just before we briefly go on to what we can do to win is just talk about one thing I read in the Joe Biscaglia when he did the film review of the Colts game. He had a section in there actually just saying talking about edge contain in the Colts game and an idea for Saturday. Obviously, we've seen the injury report with Dal Johnson the last two days. Did not practice at all. Obviously, we've got Jerry Hughes on one side, obviously being explosive. He's actually said the Bills should activate Trent Murphy for the game. Yes, he admits that Murphy doesn't have the true pass rushing presence like Addison, like Jerry Hughes, and all that. But he was one of the reasons why last season, when we held Lamar Jackson to those, what did I say, about 50 yards rushing, because he's a good run defender and he'll set up that edge.
I can see us playing Murphy over Epineza.
Yeah, well, they'll probably put Epineza in there. If Dal Johnson does not practice this today, I think he'll go off as inactive and they'll bring Murphy on. But I think the key on defense is going to be him and Matt Milano. I think those two are going to be the real keys to this defense and how they match up. Because obviously, if Murphy's actually active, say he's a good run defender, he can try and set that edge, push Lamar a bit more inside. And then Milano, who will probably keep an eye on Andrews and all that. And he's obviously got the athleticism to hopefully keep an eye on Jackson if he does decide to scramble from the pocket.
I would consider our defense to be like a finesse defense. You know, we play the gaps. We don't come out and overpower you. Would you agree or disagree?
Yeah. I kind of agree on that one.
Okay. So, I mean, Baltimore is a remarkably aggressive team on both sides of the ball. Their DBs want to hand fight you. They want to get really in your face. And, I mean, Baltimore's O-line, well, having some weaknesses, they want to punch you in the face. And, I think this is going to be a real good show of what our defense is really made of. Are they going to be able to, you know, you see in those 80s movies, the montages, you know, they're wrapping their fists in the tape, you know, they're hitting the heavy bags. This is going to be a fight, yeah, and we're going to have to really bring it. I mean, we're not going to be blitzing. We really shouldn't be. I know Frazier likes to, but we didn't do it last year against them, and not many people do it against them. Lamar's only taken 18 hits when he's in the pocket. So, you know, he doesn't get blitzed. You put guys around him and you basically just want to force his hand. You don't want to force him out of the pocket. You don't want to pressure him because, you know, when you pressure Josh, he can run out. When you pressure Lamar, he can run out. You just want to really just, you know, like visually pressure him, not physically pressure him. And it's going to be one of the line of scrimmage, you know?
Yeah.
The good news is they don't have a deep offense. You know, they don't have four wide receivers like we do. It's going to be Trey White on Hollywood Brown. It's going to be Milano on Andrews. If we could do that, then we can focus everyone else on stopping the run.
Well,
I think their one-dimensional offense really does play into our hand here.
Yeah. I mean, they've also got Dez Bryant. Yeah. He's a meh, but he's someone that you can't.
Put our old guy on him. Have Josh, old guy on old guy. Josh Norman can handle him. I'm not worried about Dez Bryant.
I mean, if you're looking at the offensive side, and obviously you're saying that the Ravens are explosive, they're the number one blitz heavy team in the league. Blitz on 30% of their snaps per game. And the interesting stat is Josh Allen versus the blitz. He's ranked first in touchdowns with 19, first in yards with 1,850 yards, and third in big-time throws with 13.
Yeah.
So, as you said earlier, it's a game plan that can play into our hands both on offense and on defense. So, if the Ravens continue to play more blitz, I think they like... I think they're like man or zone, which also plays into.
Yeah, they play man coverage 40% of the time.
Quite a bit, and I think on there.
Yeah.
So again, it plays more into Josh's hands. So they've got more work to do on getting that game plan sorted to slow down this offense. And I mean, we've got our four wide receiver set, which we are good at. It's just now, hopefully, getting this run game going to at least complement it, even if they don't run as much as necessary. We can get at least something going in that run game to help set us up for the pass, and obviously set us up for the play action, which could be a key against this offense. Because then at that point, we set up the run, we can play the play action. Josh is going to roll out, and then he's going to hurt you two ways, and you've got to decide which one you're going to go for.
Well, we saw the Bills try and establish the run last week, and it wasn't fun and it wasn't pretty. Are you saying you want to try and do the same thing again?
Well, avoiding all these 11 designed quarterback runs from Allen, I would say try and actually get the run game going. I mean, obviously we've lost Zach Moss for the season.
Mm-hmm.
They've protected Antonio Williams for this game. So it's potential that they'll actually draft him up. I don't know how quickly they're trying to get Devontae Freeman actually up to speed on there. But you saw what Williams could do against a good Dolphins defense, and you've got someone that the Ravens don't have that tape on. They'll have load of tape on Singletary and what he does, but Antonio Williams, you'll just have that last quarter or two against the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think that all comes down to the offensive line, but You know, when you look at the running game, and you know, the Ravens are the eighth best run defense in the league. They do allow 4.6 yards per attempt, where the Colts only allow 3.7. So there might be some room there. I mean, we ran Josh so much last week because Indy wasn't putting anybody in the middle of the field to stop him. I'm fine if we try and do the same thing. The biggest difference is Baltimore's turnover ratio. They forced 25 fumbles this year. So ball protection every week, obviously paramount, but with Baltimore, you know, they're coming for the punch out. So if Josh is going to run, man, two hands on the ball, play safe with that thing.
No, exactly. I think that's key. I mean, playing the way we played in the last 7 weeks and the way we've actually put up the points, okay, we played a very stingy and a very well-disciplined Colts team. Yes, they let us have quite a few yards, but they actually didn't let the scoreboard get away from them. I think if we can carry on playing, then I can see us, if we execute the game plan against the run and limit what Lamar can do.
Yeah, I'd say that we had a really good challenge last week, and I think it made us stronger because of it. Baltimore's game last week, low scoring game. Their offense wasn't able to do much against a poor Tennessee defense, but their defense stopped Derrick Henry and was able to frustrate Ryan Tannehill. You know, so. For as much as we talk about what the defense can do to stop Lamar Jackson, you know, the lifeblood of this team, the only way we win games is when Josh Allen scores more than the other team. And, you know, like you said, it will be important to establish the run. Josh needs help. We can't just put the whole game on his shoulders. We can't put every game on his shoulders. So establishing a run, if it can work, obviously, but you also don't want to go too far away from what's worked, and throwing the ball has worked. Looking at Baltimore's defense, they've only given up 20.6 times this year. The good news is they're 2-4 in those games. Like I said, they've had the second easiest schedule. They haven't played many good offenses. One thing I kind of would like to see is Daboll get a little weird with it. You know, he didn't do anything silly. Let's get some jet sweeps in. Let's get some wide receiver throws in.
I think this is a game for McKenzie. I think this is a McKenzie type game. I mean, they didn't use him at all against the Colts, but I think this game is more of a McKenzie type game where you can actually have that impact on the sweeps and all that. I think
that's the thing. I mean, you go down the line. I mean, if you want to take away Diggs, then you have, you know, Beasley, Brown, Davis, Knox, McKenzie, you know, like they don't have enough on defense to stop all of our guys. Biggest strength, Baltimore's biggest strength, you mentioned earlier, it's their blitzing. They have 30 more blitzes than the second place team. 45.1% of the time they bring extra guys, and they're fifth in the league in QB pressure rate. So they pressure the quarterback. The good news is, we all know this, Josh Allen don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
We've played Pittsburgh, New England twice, Arizona, Denver. That's five games against top QB pressure defenses, and we're 4-1. Hell, should have been 5-0 with that stupid Hail Murray. So bring the blitz. Josh don't care. You know?
Yeah.
When you look at the teams who give up the fewest passing yards, San Francisco, don't care. Rams, fewest, don't care. Baltimore gives up the sixth fewest. You know? Daboll and Allen on the same page, know what they got to do. They'll be able to do it. You know? Their cornerbacks, I would say probably the best group that we've seen this year, Marlon Humphrey, Jimmy Smith, Marcus Peters, those guys are good. Humphrey and Peters, I believe, are ranked, you know, Pro Football Focus has them, you know, like in the top 20, both of them. They're physical. So our smaller wide receivers need to be ready for a fight, or better yet, use their speed and elusiveness to get off the line of scrimmage if Baltimore's going to blitz, their game plan is with their DBs to get physical on the line. If we're going to try and get timing routes down, that's what they want to do. They want to blitz us. They want to slow down our wide receivers so we can't have those timing routes. The good news is we have too many guys for them. So if they try and do that, they can't stop all of us. And that's really what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
You know, so we didn't see anything in John Brown last week. You know, let me get some John Brown. You know, if they're going to be physical, if they're going to blitz, someone's going to be open. Someone's going to get one-on-one coverage, and that's where Josh can beat them.
Yeah. So before we wrap up, quickly, one key to the game and your prediction.
Oh, geez, one key to the game. You know, I wasn't ready for that. It's I think it's really – it's us running a Pittsburgh style offense. You know, when Pittsburgh is good, it's quick passing. That's how you beat the blitz. It's with quick passing. And I think that's going to be the key to the game. Can Josh get the ball out quickly? We know he loves to hold on to it, but can he hit, you know, like Knox and Beasley for 5 yards? The key to the game is going to be yards after the catch. I think that's going to be the really big thing. If we want to sustain drives, it's going to be yards after the catch. So that's how we do it. 27-23 Bills.
Okay. For me, the key to the game is slowing down Jackson. Mm-hmm. Try and make him throw a little bit more than he's comfortable doing. If we can bottle him up, the same game plan as we had last year against him, I can see us with the improvements we've made on the offense this season and the way we've played. I can see bottling up Lamar and this rush offense is the key to the game. And I'm still going bold with my prediction. I think we're going to put quite a few points up on the on this Ravens team. I'm going to say we're going to get 30. I'm going to go 30-21.
And that's what you want to do. If we can go up early on them and force Lamar to throw the ball. I mean, last year in the playoffs, I think he had 59 pass attempts against Tennessee, and they held him to 12 points. So, make him throw the ball. Get up early. You take the run game away from them.
Yeah. So,
I mean, Baltimore got, I mean, there's that narrative Lamar can't win in the playoffs, even though he got the win last week. So Baltimore, you got your win. You're good. You know, I mean, look, this is a notice to the rest of the NFL. You guys, you've all won. You know, everybody the Chiefs, you got one, you know, Green Bay, you know, you've got yours. Brady, go away. You've got yours. It's our time. Everyone just get the hell out of our way. All right. It's our time.
Exactly. So that will wrap up this episode of the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues. And don't forget, you can follow us, subscribe, share. Put in this time.
It's important. Yep.
Share the word of mouth, the @UK_Bills on Twitter, @RWBB_podcast on Twitter, Buffalo Bills UK on Facebook and YouTube. Hit the follow, click the like, hit the share button, speak to any other Bills fans that are not listening or following us. And for me, it's Alex saying good morning, good afternoon, good evening. See you for the review show when we'll be one more step closer to the Super Bowl. And go Bills.
Go Bills.
Not us. You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work. No. Huh? That's who we are.
Bills on 3. 1, 2, 3.